The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Yes. You can't expect God to move if you don't have any expectancy that he will do what he said that he will do. Every one of us stands in some sort of need. All of us stand in need of prayer. And you hear me say time and time again that you don't know what it took just for somebody to get to church. And that's why we got to be careful that we don't play any part of being a hindrance or blocking somebody from getting their blessing. Fact of the matter is, with all due respect, but you didn't die for your neighbor. You can't help your neighbor, not in the way that only God can. So if nothing else, if you don't feel like you have anything to pray about, to praise God for, praise God on behalf of your neighbor. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. Pray at least for your neighbor. Amen. And you thank God that they got their breakthrough. And I know that we got, that everybody here got some sort of a breakthrough, because if the truth be told, we were on the tiptoe of breaking down. But thanks be to God. Somebody needs to know that you're not alone. Every one of us, just like Jesus, has to spend some time to go through their garden of Gethsemane. And when you're in the press, that ain't time for you trying to impress. Come on, somebody, anybody. Not when you're in the olive press. That's not time to try to impress. But what God is trying to do is impress upon each and every one of us that he has not left you, that he hears your prayers, and that he cares. Amen? Amen. Out of obedience, the Lord has had me to step aside and to allow this man of God, this vessel, to stand and proclaim the word. What's amazing is the Lord had already put the scripture on his heart and to talk to him about preparation before we got to today. But Isaiah 38 continues the theme of healing. Come on, somebody. Amen. But it also continues in our theme of possibility. With God, all things. Come on, y'all don't know. I need some Bible reading. All things are possible. With man, they may be impossible, but with God. So when the sermon is over, we're going to have a all things are possible prayer. We got to leave here on that note. We have to leave here on that note. We're going to hear the word, and we're going to leave here standing on the promises of God. Amen. Raise your right hand and say, God bless you, Minister Porter.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't make this stuff up, y'all. Hallelujah. God's too good. You can't make this up. You can't make this up. I don't understand why you're still sitting in your seat. When they first started singing the song, I'm blessed, it just started resonating in my spirit in the back. Amen, amen. And as they sung the worship song, amen, amen, I was like, that is my message. That is complete, amen. But the testimony, amen, that was shared this morning in Sunday school, amen. I said, now, is she picked my message this morning? Amen, amen. I'm going to be coming from the book of Isaiah, chapter 38 on today. Amen. I'm going to be reading the first three verses. Amen, amen. And if you have your Bibles, amen, and it should be on the screen, amen. Amen. Let me know when you have it or when you can see it. Amen. Amen. And it reads as such. Isaiah, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt surely die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Amen. And as he led me to this scripture, he dealt with me on this subject. Really? Who are you talking to? Really? Amen. Heavenly Father, as we humble and come to you on today, we just want to ask you to open our hearts, our minds, and our spirits on today to allow us to be receptive of your word in the mighty name of Jesus, that we may not leave the same, that we'll leave changed, and that we'll receive our healing and our deliverance and our freedom from the enemy. And I ask you this in your son Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. You may have your seats. And I'm just sitting back listening to the testimony that went forth on this morning and the songs that were sung in praise. It was just confirming to me what he was saying to me. Amen. Because this word came to me first. Because we're all dealing with dead situations in our lives or things that are dying in our life. Amen. That we need to speak to. Speak life to, so God can get the glory and it come to fruition. Amen. Amen. But we're going to be talking about Hezekiah on today as it relates to us in the 100th degree. Amen. We know the story of Hezekiah. Here, King Hezekiah, he was sick. It's not the first time that he was sick. Amen. And the Lord had sent the prophet Isaiah, the man of God, the man that counseled Hezekiah. Every time Hezekiah would go get ready to go into battle, he would pray to God. Hezekiah would. But he would seek the counsel of Isaiah. He would seek the counsel of the prophet. Amen. So Isaiah spoke, thus said the Lord God, set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Amen. I could stop right there. Because we die in our spiritual daily if we don't repent, ask God to forgive us for our mindset, our body language, our attitudes, our lying, our backbiting. There's a list. Amen. But I ain't going to read them off all to you. Amen. Because you know where you fit in there. Amen. But he said to Hezekiah, you are going to die. You shall not live. But Hezekiah, amen, knowing who God is, immediately turned his face to the wall. Amen. How many of us have ever had a turning our face to the wall moment? Amen. Amen. If he woke you up this morning, you had a face the wall moment. If he woke you up this morning, you had a face the wall moment. Amen. Because he didn't have to stop by your bedside. He could have let you sleep right on. You could have thought you were sleeping, but you have slept into eternity. Rather, it was hell or heaven. He could have allowed you to sleep right through. Amen. But you had a turning your face to the wall moment today. Amen. So really, who are you talking to? Really? But King Hezekiah was a praying man. And we can recall several prayers, and I can, because we read the Bible, amen, that he prayed to God on behalf of Israel and Judah on several occasions. Several occasions. He went to God for Judah and Israel on several occasions. Delivered them out of the hands of the enemy several times, God did. Amen. But there's something about Hezekiah I'm going to share with you. Amen. Before the story's over. Amen. So Hezekiah, he was a praying man. So he went to God on several different occasions on Israel's behalf. But here's Hezekiah with an illness. And the prophet comes and talked to him. He's going to die. Every time Hezekiah prayed to God, he was answered. But now the prophet, the one who has spoken and heard straight from God, gotten countless counsel from God, came and told Hezekiah that he was going to die. Now Hezekiah is facing his turn. Amen. We are all going to face a turn. Amen. We are all going to face a turn. And if you don't believe me, Hebrews 9 and 27 says, as it is appointed unto man, it is appointed unto man. But Hezekiah, praying man, knew God, immediately turned his face to the wall, wept sorely to God, and God granted his prayer. Amen. Here Hezekiah, sitting in the waiting room of death. I've seen many topics in different Bibles that I read. Hezekiah sitting in the waiting room of death, waiting on his turn to meet his maker. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and asked God to spare his life. And here he literally did, because he began to have a dialogue with God. Verse 3, and he said, remember now, O Lord. I'm bringing this back to your remembrance. I want you to remember this, God. Remember what I did. I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in truth and with perfect heart. Amen. He said, with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Revelations tells us, chapter 2, how the angel ministered. He said, I appreciate this, but there's something that I still have against you. There's something that I still have against you. Sometimes we get caught up in our flesh, our carnal man, instead of constantly staying in our spiritual man. We'll quote the scripture, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. Well, if you know you're not of this world and you know you're spiritual, stay there. Amen. That is your confirmation all by itself. Nobody else has to tell you. I am spiritual. Amen. I'm a spiritual being. I'm a spirit walking in a natural body. Amen. I'm a spirit with a soul living in a body. Amen. So here, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he asked God. He wept. He wept before God, face to the wall, and interceded on his own behalf. He interceded on his own behalf. He didn't wait. He didn't tell all the councils that were around him. He interceded immediately on his own behalf. How many of us are shorting God on interceding for ourselves? I'm going to put it like this. If you work 7 days a week and you get paid every other week, or you get paid biweekly, or you get paid monthly, and you worked for this company, and then on the day you're supposed to get paid, you go to withdraw some money and there's nothing there, how are you going to feel? You're going to have an issue with that, right? So I'm gonna lay it out to you like this. When you pray, amen, you're storing up. It's not physical or tangible, but it's spiritual. The things that you are going to need in the long run. He said the race is not given to the swift, nor to the strong, but to those who hold out. Amen. You can't walk this thing. You can't walk from here. If you leave here and walk from here to your house, you're still not there. This is a journey, not a destination. We got to stop seeing it as instant coffee or instant grits or instant rice. Microwavable instancy. It's not going to come that fast. It's not going to come that fast. But what he is requiring of us, the believers of God that we say we are, is to hold fast to our faith. He said it in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How many of us believe his word? Okay. We believe his word. Amen. So we have to start standing on his word. Hezekiah stood on his word. Hezekiah spoke back to him what he told him. Yes, he did. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, wept sorely, prayed to God, and God answered his prayer. He added 15 years to Hezekiah's life. Hezekiah immediately turned to God. God responded to his prayer and changed the course of Hezekiah's life. How many of us needs a course changing on today? Sometimes we could be going down the wrong path. We could have taken the wrong course on today. But God and his grace and his mercy, amen, saw it fit that you make it one more time. That you stand before him one more time. That he woke you up, he breathed the breath of life into you one more time. He gave you one more time to get it right. Every time he breathes the breath of life into you, that's one more time. But don't let your time run out. Amen. 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 So Hezekiah, he's been sick before. But not to the degree that where the man of God, prophet, comes and gives him the bad news. God can and will use every dilemma for and to get the glory from those who are his and those who are not. If he can bring an atheist to be to be converted, if he can convert an atheist, how much more are you who's claiming him, claiming his word, believing and saying, I am faithful to you, God. And yet fall short. He said we've all fallen short. Yes, we have. We all have. But as believers, we must hold fast. We must not doubt in our minds about him at any time. He is not a liar. His word says he's not. Amen. Well, King Hezekiah also was a prideful man. Yes, he was. He was a prideful man. He boasted about the things that God did. When God delivered Israel out of all of their dilemmas, he boasted. He said it was me and my men. He boasted about it. But God's grace and mercy, it is sufficient. It is sufficient. It is sufficient. And we let our pride, stiff neck, get in the way. But he told me this. He said, it's better now to swallow our pride than to choke on it constantly in hell. It's better now to swallow that pride than to choke on it constantly in hell. Mark 11 and 23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Faithful believers, really, who are you talking to? After the prophet told him that thus said the Lord, told him to set his house in order, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, prayed, talking to God, and wept. Then God responded to his prayer. If you have ever had desperate needs in your life and turned to God for the answer, then you know what I'm talking about. God responds to fervent prayer, which can be a life-changing course in our lives. Really? Who are you talking to? God has shown us what he can and will do over and over again. Some of us have testimonies that can set those that are captive free. Thank you for your testimony, Sister Fitzgerald. Some of us can pray prayers that will loose any stronghold that has many people bound. Who are you talking to? I challenged myself, and I've shared this before, with Bible study, that I could quote 53 of the books of the Bible, but I could only quote 30 scriptures out of 66 books. Amen? But guess what? I challenged myself. Amen? Every book that I couldn't name and ones I couldn't quote a scripture from, I've been pressed to do better. And this is what I'm telling you. And dig into it deeper. And the very thought of not having anything to feed my spirit and not enough to talk a jumper off a roof or a building or someone who wants to commit suicide hits you hard when it could be the friends, your loved ones, or even a child. Who are you talking to? King Hezekiah talked to God. He had a dialogue. Now, God, the grave cannot praise thee. This is Isaiah same chapter 38, verse 19. King Hezekiah talked to God, had a dialogue. The grave cannot praise thee, nor death celebrate thee. The living, he repeated it again. He repeated it twice. Shall praise thee as I do this day. Really? Who are you talking to? How many of us refuse to accept defeat in any form or fashion, circumstance or situation, when we know we serve a mighty God? Speak to your problem. Minute problem. I serve a mighty God. Amen. I serve a behemoth of a God. You are just not that big to steal my joy. You're just not that big to steal my peace. You're just not that big to steal my faith or my love or my wife or my husband or my kids or my mind or my health. Really, who are you talking to? You telling God how big your situation is instead of telling your situation how big of a God you serve. Your situation is not bigger than God. He knows about your situation before you were even born, before you even formed in your mother's wombs. He knows about the situations already. In my walk with God, my desire mostly is not to second guess God about anything that he has done or does, because we could second guess ourselves right out of healing, blessings, and deliverance. We can second guess ourselves right out of it by second guessing God when he has already shown us over and over and over again, time after time after time after time. And he tells us faithfully in his word over and over and over, Ephesians 3:16-19, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Who are you talking to? Isaiah 25:8, he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from off the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. Who are you talking to? 2 Corinthians 4:7-9. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Psalm 32:7, thou art my hiding place. Psalm 32:7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. Now our Lord Jesus himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Who are you talking to? Who are you really talking to? Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your minds through Christ Jesus. Who are you talking to? Who are you really talking to? Are you talking more to your circumstances and situations than you are God? Because your circumstances and situations are only here to take you out. They're only designed to take you out. They can't heal you. If you have cancer, you're not going to talk to cancer. You're going to go to God. You're going to go to God for healing. If you have degenerative nerve disorder, you're not going to talk to that. You're going to talk to God. That's who I talk to in my circumstance, in my situation. I talk to God. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Proverbs 10:22-32. The blessings of the Lord that maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Proverbs 30:10-32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Who are you talking to? And the coup de grace. Numbers 23:19-20. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? He is a promise keeper. Behold, and this is the good part. This number, verse 20. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Once he set it in motion, there's no going back. He does not take it back. He's not an Indian giver, as we say. The word said, you're just an Indian giver. Everything you give me, you want to take it back. God doesn't take it back. Once he puts it into action, it's into action. You can cancel it out. You can cancel it out. But once God sets it in motion, it's in motion. Amen? To God be praise. To God be the glory. Who are you talking to? Really?
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.